Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How we doing? Hour number two of our radio program. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this Monday. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good hour number one. We talk a lot about your impressions of the NBA starting back up. Doug Peterson has the coronavirus. The Saints are going to a voluntary bubble-like atmosphere for training camp in a hotel. And we also have a little bit to talk about with Major League Baseball, as you will see the return of the Philadelphia Phillies going up against the Yankees tonight. The Marlins scheduled to resume play tomorrow up against the Baltimore Orioles. And we're waiting to see, as there's an outbreak with the St. Louis Cardinals, when they will get back to the field. The earliest that could happen is going to be Friday against the Cubs in St. Louis. That's the latest from Major League Baseball. I also saw some stuff. We'll get to Odell Beckham in just a second with some of his comments that we did see today in the Wall Street Journal. But I did see today some more information come out in regards to the Marlins and then also the Cardinals. Scott Miller, longtime baseball scribe, said MLB's internal investigation found the Marlins were very lax in following protocols during Atlanta trip last weekend. Players were going out, players in hotel bars, etc. Lots of MLB people very unhappy with the Miami Marlins. Craig Mish, who's been all over this Marlins story, says Jeter says the Marlins were not wearing masks as much as they should have and were not socially distancing properly. And I also did see from our pal Jerry Hairston Jr., and this was confirmed by John Heyman, at least a couple of Cardinals did go to a casino, as Jerry Hairston first suggested. MLB has since tightened its rules on leaving team hotel from very strongly discouraged to not allowed. And the Cards COVID count going into today, that was three players and four staff members. Now we know that number has gone up exponentially, as it's the Cardinals have 13 members of their organization test positive for COVID in the last week, including seven players and six staff members. It's mind-boggling to me. And I don't know how this, you know, was negotiated out between Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball's Players Association. How when you're on the road in the middle of a pandemic and you know it's essential to your sport for it to survive this year, for players to play by the rules and for players to sacrifice their social life, how some players thought it was a good idea to maybe go out, and who knows where they actually did go, but use your imagination. And I think I did read today that Jeter said, like, they weren't going out and partying, but they did leave the hotel. And for players for the Cardinals to allegedly be going to a casino, how people think that's a good idea, or how they thought that was a good idea, and how Major League Baseball didn't have a protocol in place that was, it's strongly discouraged from you to go out, to then totally you're not allowed to go out, how that wasn't the thought from the start, it's mind-boggling to me. And I guess sports outside of a bubble can work. Clearly the preference is inside a bubble. And NHL, NBA have had great success in their restarts. And we've seen that in the month of July. Now we're officially in the month of August. For baseball players and football players, yes, you're going to have to go out from time to time. You're going to have to go out to the supermarket. You know, when you're home, you're gonna have to go to a doctor's appointment for your kid. Things like that are going to happen. And if you get the virus that way, there's nothing you could do. But to go to a casino right now, it's unnecessary. If you're going out clubbing, it's unnecessary. And not only are you putting yourself in harm's way of contracting COVID-19, but you're putting your teammates in the way. And all it takes is a careless player or two putting themselves and their personal needs in front of the team where you could see an outbreak. So when you're a Major League Baseball player and you're on the road, even though you're used to going out to a steakhouse with the team, or you're used to going out to a club, if let's say you get in on a Thursday night and you're not playing till Friday at 7:10 p.m., what you're used to doing can't happen right now. Because right now we are in jeopardy of losing a season. You have 60 games here. 60 games. We're asking you to play by the rules here and sacrifice your social life from basically the start of July, through August, through September, and if your team's fortunate enough to make the postseason, for October as well. And that's it. That's it. And I'm not saying, hey, go live your life the way you want when the season's over, because we have to start thinking about next season as well. But if you can't play by the rules for 3 months, then don't play. Opt out. Opt out. Because if you can't do certain things, if you're on the road and you have to go out, or if you have to go to a casino, just opt out. And yes, you don't want to lose your money. And I totally get that as well. But it's not for you. It's for the other people that have concerns, that are playing by the rules, that are doing things the right way. And they're getting screwed over because teammates only care about their own self-interest. So it's very clear. For 3 months in Major League Baseball, and for football a little bit longer than that, if you think it's a good idea to go to the strip club, if you think it's a good idea to frequently go out, stay home or stay away from the sport and then do what you want. Because it's crazy when you look back at this and you see most of the teams doing well. I guarantee you, or you would think, those teams are following protocols. And even if you follow protocols, you could still get the virus. When you hear, though, an outbreak with the Marlins and a few players went out, and now you hear, oh, outbreak with the Cardinals, and we hear from Jerry Hairston Jr. and John Heyman that a few players went to a casino, you'll wonder why there's an outbreak with those two teams. You got to be better than that. You got to be. Because, you know, you look at the NFL. If NFL players are constantly going out to strip clubs and constantly going out on the road or whatever it is, or going out during the week, look how quickly that could spread in a locker room. In a sport where there's already a lot of contact, and in a sport that we know, just like baseball, there's going to be problems. You're not going to totally eliminate the virus. You're not going to totally eliminate all the problems. But for the present day where we're at, you need to try to not bring the virus into your building. Now, you could limit everything you want to do, and it could still get in your building. But if it gets into your building because your players are being careless, well, when fans get upset, why the season didn't happen, and if you find out in the NFL, a player goes to a strip club, or if a player goes to a casino and they bring something back, and then the next day you have 10, 15 players on NFL roster, or a few days later, 10, 15 players on NFL roster happen, well, you could blame those players. And I would imagine inside locker rooms, that's going to create a lot of tension. You know, we talk about Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, and that was even at the initial stages of this. If players are still not getting it by now, heck, if a Marlins player actually did go out and brought the virus back in, if you're a player that's following everything by the rules and you got the virus, you're PO'd at that player. If you're a Cardinals player right now and you find out a few of your teammates allegedly went to a casino and they maybe brought the virus back, and who exactly knows? But if they brought the virus back and then you got it because your teammates were careless and were reckless, yeah, you're going to be annoyed with those players as well. So we're in one of those stages where you just wait and see what's going to end up transpiring with Major League Baseball and also the NFL. So let me get to this, as I have no – do you hear that, Stu? Do you hear that that background noise, Stu, by any chance?
I did. What is that?
I have no clue what's going on. I have – it sounded like thunder, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Was it like a thunderstorm by you or something?
I don't think it was thunder. I think someone's upstairs and they're moving something in the house right now.
Oh, boy.
Which, you know, so what's going to happen? We're going to have to take a break in like 5-10 minutes. I'm going to have to go upstairs. I'm going to have to yell, guys. From 6 to 10 p.m., it's very simple. You can't make that much noise. So if someone's moving something upstairs right now, I'm going to be annoyed. I'm going to be very annoyed. That's what I think it was. Something moved upstairs, though. It sounded, you know what it sounded like? It sounded like one of those rolling chairs. And if someone's moving one of those rolling chairs and just dragging them across the floor upstairs, geez Louise. But that startled me. That startled me. I did. I thought we had some thunder. You know, the storm's coming, so maybe I thought the storm was coming a little bit earlier, but here we go. All right, anyway, we'll use that as the transition because I wanted to move to a different topic anyway. Odell Beckham Jr. I was reading today that Odell Beckham Jr., and I guess this was said 2 weeks ago, but the article didn't come out today, so to be fair to Odell Beckham Jr., and I saw that from Mary Kay Cabot of, you know, in Cleveland, who covers the Browns. She said that this quote was from 2 weeks ago, and he doesn't feel this way anymore once he did see the Browns facility when he was able to get in there. However, Odell Beckham Jr. gave this quote, and it said, quote, "I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it to not happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it," in close quotes. Here's what I'll say about this. Odell Beckham Jr. is totally allowed to have his concerns, to have his doubts about this season. I think a lot of people have doubts about the NFL season. But if he's going to say, "I wouldn't mind not having it," then opt out. That's my message to Odell. If you really feel that the season shouldn't happen and you're preparing for it to not happen and you wouldn't mind not having it, then opt out. You have that right as a player to opt out. If you don't feel like it's safe, then you can leave. So when I first read this, and I get the genuine concern, but it's once again, I usually don't play these games with Odell. I'm usually a fan of Odell Beckham Jr. I usually like Odell Beckham Jr. But this seems like it's a situation where he's making it about himself, and trying to take some headlines and take some attention and put in the headlines with his name on it by doing this interview. And once again, to be fair, he doesn't feel this way anymore. You got to be careful, though, with your words these days. And if you had concerns, then opt out, like I said. With that being said, though, for him to be able to change that quickly, "Oh, yeah, I showed up. Now everything is fine. And I have zero concerns." It makes it seem like you really didn't put that much thought in your initial statement. And I get we're in a world right now where things are constantly changing. Things are changing, and the way that you feel 2-3 weeks ago could change to where we are in the current day. But for you to say, "I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it to not happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it," that's a quick change after being in the facility for a few days to go, "Oh, yeah, you know, even though I said last week I wouldn't mind having it and that the season shouldn't happen, now we're A-OK, we're going to be good to go." That's a quick change in my book for Odell Beckham Jr. I think he needs to find a better way in choosing his words here. And he should have done a better job here before speaking. And I don't give him a free pass, because 2 weeks later, it's, "Oh, well, you know what? I showed up to the facility now. Everything's fine." I'm not telling players that I have concerns. And people have an individual decision to make. For Odell, though, and you read other parts of that article where he's talking about how the owners just look at them as millionaires and the owners just, you know, think they have total control over the players. And the stuff that he's talking about, it's a very quick 180 that Odell Beckham did. Very quick. Now, I could totally understand if you are thinking and there's some skepticism, are the owners going to be addressing the best interest for myself or the best interest for their pocket? A lot of what Odell Beckham said is fair. It comes off, though, the wrong way where you say something 2 weeks ago, and I guess this article didn't come out today, and after being in the facility for one moment, it's, oh, no, now I'm all ready to be all in for this season. All Odell had to say was, I have my doubts for this season, and I think we have to be prepared for anything. And he kind of said that, but he added in that the season, I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it. There's okay to have doubts. There's okay to think that the season shouldn't happen, but if you strongly feel that way, you have the right to opt out. Why didn't you opt out then? And now you go from 1 week, no way that this should happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it, to all of a sudden, oh, no, we're good to go. Doesn't come off right to me. It doesn't. And when we're talking about something this serious and you have a platform like Odell, I think you got to be a little bit extra careful with your words. Because that line of, I wouldn't mind not having it, that's going to annoy a lot of people. Because for a lot of people, if it's deemed not safe to play, I totally get that. But people are still going to mind not having a season. Because we all know how important football is in this country. Very important. And if it's not deemed safe to play, then it's not deemed safe to play. There's nothing you could do about it. When you're Odell, though, and you go, yeah, we definitely shouldn't have it, and I wouldn't mind having it, it's not the right way of phrasing it. And if you're a player and you don't think we should have it, then don't play. And I totally get it. Heck, when my team has, what, like 8-9 guys opt out, I don't doubt their opinion for a second. Everyone has a personal decision to make. But when you say that I don't feel like it should happen, I'm prepared for it to not happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it, then why are you playing? Why are you showing up? Because if I was an NFL player, I'll relate to myself. If I was an NFL player and I thought that this wasn't going to work, and I felt that, yeah, I don't want to have this season, and I don't think it should happen, I would opt out. So I'm wondering why 2-3 weeks ago Odell Beckham decided not to opt out. And the facility is that well kept that you change that thought that quickly? Come on, something seems weird here. I hate to say this with Odell, but it comes off that he's just trying to make himself the story here. 17 past the hour, it's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Matt LaFleur said something over the weekend to The Athletic that it's one of the more comical things you ever hear. We'll tell you about it in 5 minutes. It's the Zach Yelp Show.
You're listening to the Zach Yelp Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Can you imagine Freddie Kitchens gets hired? First day he walks in, Odell started it, hashtag Team Gettleman. That would be a shirt that Freddie Kitchens would wear as he puts on his clown nose and his clown shoes, his clown's hair, and everything associated with clowns. He made the Cleveland Browns turn into the Cleveland Clowns.
Here's Zach Gelb.
Little paper planes bringing us back, Stu. I love this song. When I was in 9th or 10th grade, they would play this song each and every day for football 2 days. We would show up in the morning. This would be the first song that you hear in the locker room. And then when we come back for the afternoon night session, this song would be blasting as well. Ugh, I'm not good lyrically with giving you song lyrics. I could probably give you every lyric of this song when you constantly hear it at what, 5:30 in the morning, where you could barely open your eyes and you're trying to put the football pads on and the football helmet on as well. All right, let me get back to this Odell stuff before we continue with what Matt LaFleur said about his quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. So this Odell quote, I don't even think this is the best part where he says, I just feel like the season shouldn't happen and I'm prepared for it to not happen and I wouldn't mind not having it. And that was 2 weeks ago and it came out today via the Wall Street Journal. And now all of a sudden he's okay with actually seeing what was going on inside the Browns facility. According to Mary Kay Cabot, he's not even thinking about opting out now. So here was the other gem of a quote by Odell in this article. We're not ready for football season, so why are we trying to push it forward? It's obviously for their money, and that bothers me because there's always been this, and I hate saying it like that, but the owner's attitude is, oh, we own you guys, and just kind of that unfairness going on that they don't see us as human. I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it to not happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it. So that was the end of the quote that we've been highlighting, but there was a lot said before the quote. Stu, don't you find it ironic where he trashes the owners? And don't get me wrong, a lot of this is greed, and a lot of reason why they want to see a season happen is because of money that goes into the owner's pocket. So I could get that concern. 2 weeks, though, since he said this, now all of a sudden he has zero concern. So those same greedy owners that he feels that the owners just feel like that they own you guys and all the unfairness that comes from it, it's now, oh, these guys that I didn't think actually gave a rat's ass about me. Yeah, from what I see right now, even though not everything is currently safe in the environment that they're setting up, it's working. Doesn't that come off as hypocritical to quickly do a 180 within 2 weeks? And hey, we say things all the time that I have to come back on air and eventually say I was wrong about, whether it's an opinion on a sports team or you think you know someone and then something goes a different way. But for Odell, to basically throw the entire league's ownership under the bus and go, yeah, this shouldn't happen. We shouldn't play. The owners only care about themselves. He gets there and then he goes, uh-oh, actually, this looks pretty good what they're doing right now.
Yeah, that's really not something you can say and not have conviction on and not, you know, stick with. That has to be. If you're going to say that, you have to go forward with it and believe it, and you can't flip-flop on that. And what could change in 2 weeks? Like, you think that 2 weeks ago, and now it's the complete opposite? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And how much were they even in the facility, you know, in the last 2 weeks? They showed up, they got tested, and then they did go home. I saw today that the Denver Broncos, when they actually had to go out on the practice field, you know, when you go through airport security and you go through the metal detectors and the X-ray machines and all that, they kind of looked as if they were going through those X-ray machines and the metal detectors, and they actually had sanitation being sprayed on them, sanitizer being sprayed on them as they did enter the practice field, which I don't know how much that helps or not before you go and have physical contact with players, and you hope those players are all good to go and they're not bringing anything into the facility. But that's one of the things right now in that, hey, you're trying to put every precaution in place. So I would love to know, and maybe we bring on a writer this week or maybe we bring on a player this week, I would love to know what it actually looks like in the facility. I did see today, because you have Hard Knocks. I don't know when Hard Knocks is starting up. Maybe it could be as early as this weekend. I did see a trailer, though, for Hard Knocks, and this year it's the Rams and also the Chargers. And Sean McVay was addressing the team. And what I mean by he was addressing the team, it looked as if there was, I don't know, 8 to 10 people maybe in the facility. Maybe it was just rookies. That could be a possibility. Maybe it did go on during the rookie training camps. Maybe he was just addressing the rookies. Maybe it was others on the team. He was having a meeting, though, and he was wearing the full face mask, and he was talking, and he sounded so much like John Gruden. But it did look different when you had only a room of maybe 10 people max, and everyone was spread out. And that's the world that we're in. I know McVay was someone that said you can't social distance and play football. And there's part of him that is probably right. There are ways, though, that you could limit what you're used to doing. And there's ways that you're going to have to adjust and change. Yes, when you get on a football field, there's no way to socially distance. When you get into practices, you're going to have to line up eventually and get the most work in, and there's going to be contact. When you get into other areas, though, team meetings, it's going to be completely different. Now, when I was in Philadelphia at the NovaCare Complex for a press conference, I was in the team meeting room. And you know that they would pack in, what, 100 players? You know, 53 during the season, and then your practice squad players and players that are hurt and other coaches, things like that aren't going to happen. And you see in the NFL, someone like Doug Peterson who tested positive for coronavirus, he's now having Deuce Staley be the head coach in the building, and Doug's still going to be doing things, but he's going to be at home for a little bit. And we'll see when Doug Peterson does come back. So right now, the whole world's adjusting. We're adjusting in sports as well. And the NBA and NHL have a grip on it. Major League Baseball, you vacillate on it probably every day. And football, it's too early of a determination to make. That's another thing with Odell. And Stu, if I felt so strongly about something that I felt like it shouldn't play and you're questioning the owners, 2 weeks, that's a quick turnaround. You know, when I say something, and I know it's something in a more trivial manner, but for example, like the Raptors or the Rockets, where going into the postseason, even last year, I had a tough time buying into the Raptors, even though they had Kawhi, a legitimate finals MVP, even before he got to Toronto. I would say just with what the Raptors have done, even though they changed coaches and Dwayne Casey's no longer there, until they show me, I'm not going to believe in them. And, you know, I'm feeling that way for the Rockets now. If I was an NFL player and I was so set against, but I wasn't going to opt out of playing this season, with the little time that you've had in that facility, is that enough for me to sit back and say, oh, yeah, 100%. Definitely. You know, I'm going to play, and now you move on from there, and you have no concerns about this season. It's an awfully quick turnaround. Very, very quick turnaround from Odell Beckham. And the words that he said, they were powerful and at times fair. All concerns I'm sure players are having, but after 2 weeks, and with how little time you've been in the facility probably since then, you go, yeah, no problem. And that's what I saw from My Sports Update. Odell Beckham Jr.'s comments about not having a 2020 season were from 2 weeks ago before he saw how safe the Browns facility was. Mary Kay Cabot reported he has no plans to opt out for this upcoming season. So that's where we are with Odell. If you want to laugh, though, let me get to another football point. This is Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, now in his second year as the head man for the Cheesehead Nation. And he was talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Remember, it was either, I think it was last week, we played you those cuts of Aaron Rodgers on Kyle Brandt's podcast, and Rodgers basically said, I know my career is not going to end in Green Bay. You know, I want it to end in Green Bay, but when you draft Jordan Love in the first round, you move up from 30 to 26 to snag him, and you see the timeline of how that's going to move in this league, you're eventually going to want to see Jordan Love get on the field. And Rodgers under contract for 4 more years this year, and then 3 years after that, eventually they're going to move on. And I've said this numerous times. I said last week, I've said it right after the draft, that when you look at this timeline, Rodgers probably plays in Green Bay for 3 more seasons. And then going into that fourth year, they probably try to trade him to get something back for him. Because you can't just let him walk for a compensatory pick. A player of that caliber, you can't just let him walk for a third-round draft pick. You'd be tarred and feathered if you are Brian Gutekunst or if you are Matt LaFleur for just letting Rodgers walk for a third-round pick. Does Rodgers try to expedite this process? Possibility. Does he try to get out at the end of this season? Yeah, that is a definite possibility. You know, it's definitely possible. With that being said, though, if all goes according to plan, you probably want to see 3 more years of Rodgers in Green Bay, and then you hand the keys to the Ferrari over to Jordan Love out of Utah State. And who knows what Jordan Love's going to be. This was the quote, though, from LaFleur, and this was to Matt Schneidman, our buddy from The Athletic. Right now, most importantly, I'm already starting to crack up. Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. However long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league, but I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis, and I don't see that changing for a really long time. A really long time? Stu, when I say to you a really long time, how many years is a really long time in your mind?
I mean, in the football sense, probably 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, that's a really long time, because a career could be 3, 4 years. Heck, a career could end in one play. You know that they're not going to give him another year, you know, another contract extension. The odds shift in the favor of not having another contract in Green Bay. So if you're telling me he's going to be there for a really long time, I would have said 5 more years. Does anyone believe right now that Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay for 5 more years? No. Not when you take a quarterback in the draft, but it's not just taking a quarterback. You traded up to get him in the first round when you didn't have to. You know, who was the other team that was moving up? You know, was it Indy? Are they trying to get back into the first round? So Matt LaFleur comes off to me here as Pinocchio, where he's trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. He's trying to keep this civil. Aaron Rodgers has said all the right things. If you're LaFleur, if I'm Matt LaFleur, and I know these questions are going to come, but I'm sitting up there and I'm saying, guys, what happened in the draft happened in the draft. We're moving on and we're getting ready for Aaron to play football for this year in the 2020 season. And you'll still be asked about it, but at least you have an out. Like, go a little Belichick mode here. I already released a statement. I already commented on it. You just keep on putting your own foot, though, in your mouth when you go, he's going to be here for a really long time. Because what do? When you make a quote like that, which is just a blatant lie, and I know his out is, however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Like, what are you even saying? What are you saying? He's going to be here for a long time, but I can't tell you exactly how long. Here's my follow-up question. Coach, you going to give him another contract? Or when this deal's up, is that it? And what would Matt LaFleur do? Habada, 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 habada. Because that's when you would catch him right in the trap. For him to have the audacity after taking a quarterback and that organization taking a quarterback in the first round when you have Rodgers to then try to double down and say Rodgers is going to be here for a long time, he's not going to be here for more than 3 to 4 more years. And I don't see him making it through all 4 years in Green Bay. So you're better off if you're the Packers. We drafted who we drafted. The eventual goal is to hand the baton over from Rodgers to Love. When is that going to be? I don't know. But for you to tell your fans that he's going to be here for a long time, none of your fans think that. All your fans have a brain right now, and they're laughing at you, and they're saying, instead of improving the defense in this offseason, instead of going and getting Rodgers a legitimate number two wide receiver, you guys drafted his replacement and basically told Rodgers, "Man, the team wasn't that great last year. They still won 13-3. They got to an NFC championship. It's up to you to get us to the next step and take us to the Super Bowl. And if you don't do that, oh yeah, by the way, you have a time clock that's ticking and it's 3 to 4 years. Does anyone think Rodgers is going to play more than 4 years in Green Bay? I don't. Is 3 to 4 years a very long time? And maybe in NFL years it is, but if you tell me that someone's going to be there for a very long time, you're telling me he's getting another contract. And right now, I don't see how there's a way, unless they trade Jordan Love, where they're not going to put Love on the field and just waste the first-round draft pick like that. You guys made your own bet here. Now you have to lie in it. But don't tell us that Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Green Bay for a long time, because he will finish his career elsewhere.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Jason Jackson going to join us to talk a little Heat and also the rest of the NBA season resuming coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. So about an hour and 15 minutes from now. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, as always, is 855-212-4227. Sponsored by good friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. All right, let me get to a little bit about this New York Mets situation with Yoenis Cespedes. Really, one of the more bizarre stories that you'll see when it comes to coronavirus and a player opting out. And it's so, and I hate to say this because I'm a big Mets fan, but it is so typical New York Mets that now there's another side to this story and you don't know who to truly believe. So yesterday, when I get off the golf course, I actually come back to my place and I call Mikey B. So I'm talking to Mikey B, and Mikey B goes to me, did you see the Cespedes story? I go, Mike, I just got off the golf course. We were talking about some things to plan for today's show and throughout the rest of the week, some new segments we're doing. I go, Mike, I hate to sound like an old man here. Yeah, I did not see the story. It was one of the 2-3-hour, 4-hour stretches as I was just yakking it up on the golf course, for a better way to put it, where I wasn't checking Twitter. And it's amazing in how bad I could be at golf at times, and then how decent I could be at times, that I actually do enjoy the sport. It is really one of the more humbling sports in the world, but something when you continue to get your ass kicked in the sport, it actually makes you hungrier to keep on playing the sport instead of just giving up. So Mike tells me that Cespedes is missing. I go, what do you mean Cespedes is missing? He goes, he didn't show up to the team today. I go, they're in Atlanta. And he's supposed to be staying in his hotel. What do you mean that he's missing? So Mike goes, I don't know. That's just the report right now. There's not a lot of clarity. The Mets issued some statement, but he didn't show up to the ballpark today. So the minute when you hear that Cespedes is missing, and trust me, you never know what to expect with Yoenis Cespedes, someone that got hurt when he was trying to get a wild boar out of a trap, and he ended up, you know, hurting himself. And that's why his salary is significantly reduced this year, because that ended up being what happened and the reason behind his injury. So, you know, Cespedes is missing. So right when I hear when Cespedes is missing, I think to myself right away, something's got to be wrong here. And I hope, and this is the natural way that your mind goes, I hope that this is something that isn't tragic. Then you also think, what else could it be? And you think, well, maybe it's something COVID-related that they're not willing to announce yet. So we eventually find out from Brody Van Wagenen, who was once Yoenis Cespedes' agent. He negotiated his contract with the Mets before eventually becoming the Mets' general manager, that Cespedes opted out. And the story the Mets gave is that he didn't inform the team immediately, and they didn't find out until later in the day. So when I hear that, I go, that's unprofessional of Yoenis Cespedes. If you want to opt out, you have every right to opt out. You're definitely allowed to opt out, but you got to inform your employer. You know, if let's say there was a situation where I didn't feel safe to do a radio show, and I was opting out for the next 3 months of doing a radio show, I'm calling my boss. I'm calling Mark Chernoff. I'm calling David Marinick and saying, guys, this is a decision I made. It's over. I'm not coming back until it's deemed safe. According to the story the Mets gave, Cespedes and his camp, he opted out. You know, they probably went to the hotel room. You knock on the door, and what happens? Not there. All right, you go downstairs. Hotel personnel comes up. They open up the room. Cespedes isn't there. Now, is the stuff not in the room? They already say, peace, I'm done, and hopped on a plane and go elsewhere or get driven wherever else he was going. I don't know. If that's true, though, that he didn't tell the Mets until later in the day, that's inexcusable. It's very simple. If you don't show up to work, you got to let, even if you hate your employer, even if you're fed up with your employer, you got to let your employer know you're not showing up to work. So I thought I thought of that. I hear that story. Didn't really think much of it again. I'm annoyed at Yoenis Cespedes, who was a Mets World Series hero or a playoff hero. Had a tremendous, you know, back-to-back seasons for the Mets. You see him get to the playoffs twice. They lose in the World Series to the Royals, and then the next year they lost that wild card game to the Giants, where it was Syndergaard and Madison Bumgarner. After that, though, it's been injury, injury, injury. And you saw him come back on opening day, hits a home run, they win the game 1-0. But since then, Cespedes has been dreadful. So I see an article come out from the New York Post that the reason Cespedes opted out is that he was upset with the manager, Luis Rojas, that Luis Rojas, because I guess Cespedes' deal is heavily incentivized, that he was annoyed that he didn't play in two games. Or he was annoyed also with his positioning in the batting order. Really? That's why you're opting out? So you're using COVID as an excuse. And don't get me wrong, if you feel as if it's unsafe to play, then don't play. But don't quit on the team. And don't opt out because you're annoyed with the manager. And for Cespedes, he probably said, look at all this money I have. And I'm making, what, $1.5 million, $2 million, $3 million, whatever they settled on. And if I'm not going to be able to reach the incentives, then what's the point of me playing? What's the point of me risking this? But this isn't an opt-out because of an apprehension about COVID. It's an opt-out because you're a big star. You've fallen from grace with all the injuries. And now you still think you're a big star, but you're not producing on a baseball field. I know we hit that home run on opening day. He swings and misses, though, at almost everything now. Ever since then. Guy's like, what, 2 for 15? And to just pack up and go home that quickly, you quit on your team. And if I'm a Mets player, I'm annoyed. But then today, to give you the other side of the story, this is why I don't know who to believe now, because it's tough to believe anything with Cespedes, and it's tough to give the Mets the benefit of the doubt about everything. I saw this from Anthony DeComo that they did one of these pregame Zoom meetings, and Brandon Nimmo was one of the players being interviewed, and Anthony DeComo said, Brandon Nimmo says he and his Mets teammates heard that Yoenis Cespedes' agent actually informed the Mets he was opting out before Sunday's game. He also heard the Mets' official story that the team was blindsided during the game. Nimmo said he doesn't know which is true. So either the Mets are lying here, and they found out before the game, and they're annoyed at Cespedes because he quit on the team, and it wasn't really for COVID. It was because he was upset with Luis Rojas, who he's already complaining about. And they go, all right, we're going to drag him through the mud here because we think it's unprofessional. They release a statement not knowing where he is, which why are you releasing a statement before you know where a player is? Don't create this panic. But the story already got out, or Cespedes was annoyed at the Mets and screwed the Mets here. Is it possible that maybe Cespedes texted the team and said, guys, the story that the Mets are giving is false? Yeah, it's possible. Is it also possible that the Mets story is true? Yeah, it definitely is possible. So I don't know who to believe here. It's impossible to pick sides here because the Mets are a PR disaster, and Cespedes only cares about himself. And that's why he's bounced around from team to team in his major league career. It's always something with the Mets. 3-7, blowing games left and right. And now Cespedes opts out because he was upset with the manager. And it's a battle of he said, she said. We'll do onsides, offsides next. Coming back in 5 minutes at the Zach Gelb Show. Right here, a perturbed Mets fan on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.